Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, today, obviously, it's a great day. It's July 3rd. Tomorrow, we celebrate July 4th, Independence Day here in the United States of America. An exciting day. And I like the fact that we are still 246 years later independent of Great Britain. I'm not got anything against them. I'm just glad we're not dependent upon them, aren't you? If you know anything about history, it's a good thing that we have freedom. Independence is, and I just got to start this with a couple of just definitions. Independence is the state of being independent. That's what independence is. And I mean, it's freedom from outside control or even support. Now, that's a scary thought. But some of you can remember back at 16, 17, 18, 19 years of age, and you were like, I cannot wait to be independent. And then you still go back to your parents and ask for gas money. There's a process that takes place of getting to the place where you are independent. I get all of that. And for a country, I want you to know, independence is a condition of a nation, a country, or a state in which its residents and population, or some portion thereof, they exercise self-government, usually sovereignty over the territory, and it's basically understanding that it's no longer dependent upon another country. So tomorrow, when you are celebrating the 4th of July, our freedom, our independence, you have to understand what freedom is. And freedom is something that we live in. And there is a little bit of a difference. Let me just make sure we understand this. At 18 years of age, when you are now all independent. I'm acting like that's horrible. I prayed for the day my kids would be independent. Some of y'all are still praying. Keep on. But there is a difference from being independent as an 18, 19-year-old and being free. Now, I want you to understand that when you get to a place where you no longer, per se, need the mom and dad's money, you still could use their wisdom. But there's also a thing called freedom. That's a big deal. And it's empowering. Freedom is power. Freedom is power. And it's not just independence. So we celebrate tomorrow independence from Great Britain, but know this, we've got a lot of people still here in these United States of America that are very dependent. And I want you to understand that we've got to do our best as God's people to teach freedom. Not just independence, but freedom. See, the reason they wanted to be independent from Great Britain was because they wanted freedom. And we have to understand what freedom means, not just as a United States citizen, but freedom as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So freedom is the power or the right to act or to move. Here in the United States of America, praise God, you have the freedom to move. You have the freedom to travel. You have the freedom to go where you want to go. Freedom also includes the ability to speak or to think as you want to without hindrance or restraint. I have never seen in the life of this country the put downs we have had the last 2 years in how everyone is thinking. We're just putting them down right and left. You're wrong if you think that way. You're wrong if you think that way. What I'm telling you is we have freedom to think that way. Sorry, I get a little excited. Let me breathe a little. Continental Congress declared our independence from Great Britain and its king 246 years ago tomorrow. And that's exciting. I just want you to know. And since tomorrow's the 4th, I want to talk about a couple of things. See, we understand, or we should understand, independence here in America. And we have to understand being dependent before you understand independence. You got to get both. If you can imagine, the people of our country at that time had been dependent upon Great Britain and King George III. Now, I'm not getting into a big history lesson because everybody will be asleep. But here's what you have to know. Not everybody. There's a few history students here. They decided that they wanted to be independent. They would like to be independent. And I'm just going to give you three. There's a whole bunch of them. Three reasons today why they wanted to be independent. The first one is they wanted to be free to worship. Our forefathers wanted to be free to worship the way that they interpreted the Word of God. They wanted freedom of religion. They saw that as very important. The other thing they wanted free from Britain's taxes. They didn't want to be told that they had to pay taxes. Here, they said, I want free from that. And they wanted free from a king's rulership. Those are your three big ones. And they wanted to establish a different form of government that was established for the people by the people. Now, you've heard all these before. But when you celebrate July 4th, you need to understand it was a really important celebration when they got free of all that. See, freedom became real to them. And it was work to keep Britain's rule from making the people dependent upon them again. Parents, you get this. Your kids get to a place where they are independent, or so you think. And then the phone rings. Hey, I need someone to feed the dogs while we're gone. Hey, I need this. Hey, I need that. Would you? And so we're real quick to call back who we were once dependent upon. Now, hear this. I don't mind feeding the dogs because my wife does it. Let's get that one out. But here's the thing. We would have been real tempted here in the United States of America to give up our freedom because there was a lot of work that was put forth to maintain the freedom and not be dependent upon Great Britain. And you don't hear a lot about that part of the story. So we're celebrating that we got free. And what I'm celebrating today, 246 years later, is we've remained free. That's what's important, that we've remained free. And so it's important for us to stay independent or free. Ronald Reagan said it best, freedom is a fragile thing. It's never more than one generation away from extinction. It's not ours by inheritance. It must be fought for and defended constantly by each generation, for it comes only once to a people. Those who have known freedom and then lost it have never known it again. Now, many don't understand that there was a fight for freedom, and they fought to get it for us. And what I'm telling you is we have watched generation after generation fight to keep it. Every war that has been fought in the United States of America or outside of the United States of America has been fought to maintain what originally was fought for us to get. Now, I know that you guys will all be, yeah, I agree with all of that. But it reminded me of a story that really brought to life some things for me that my grandfather told me years ago, and I've heard him talk about it time and time again. Up until his death, he would always tell this story from World War II. See, he went over to Europe right after the war, and he was over there establishing communications that had all been torn down, and he was privilege to meet many of the Germans that had been under Hitler's rule. And I don't have this story, but my grandfather was a firsthand participant in this story. And he would ask the Germans, he said, "I just got one question," and this is all he would ask them. "Why did you do this? Why did you put Hitler in that position? Why did you do that?" And he would ask them that. And I remember him telling me this story about how these families in Germany had just, they had been under Hitler's control. And he said, "Why did you do this?" I mean, they finally got him out, got these families out of Hitler's control. And their answer was this: "He helped us out of a terrible place. He helped us out of a Great Depression. Things were really bad here, and they started getting better under his rule." And then my grandfather would go on to say, what they didn't know is he's the one that put them there. He's the one that made them think that they were in a horrible position, and it wasn't his fault, and he was just the Savior. And what I'm here to tell you today here is that's what the enemy, the devil, Satan, tries to do to God's people. He puts you in a position. He tries to say, "Hey, this will get you out of it. Depression, sin looks fun. Do this. It'll get you out of it. It'll get you out." And what I see going on here in America is just a real representation of what took place there, and we've got to be real careful. What made us a great country was people taking the initiative to work hard and get themselves into a place of independence. And what made America great will have to be what maintains America's greatness. And that'll be a fight. And you say, "What do you mean?" See, it's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take labor. And everyone right now that I go out in every store, it seems I go to, they're saying, looking for help. Help wanted. Everywhere I go. I mean, they've closed most of the restaurants on Monday. We have to cook at home on Mondays. My favorite restaurants are all closed. What happened here? We don't have enough help. I talked to the owners and the managers. We don't have enough help. We don't have enough help. What I'm telling you is, America, we got to get back to work. They shouldn't be looking for the help. There ought to be people willing to work. Now, I'm preaching to the choir. That's why everybody says amen. Everybody here's got a job. If you don't say anything. Just go get one. What will make America great again is everybody getting to work. Now, a dependency on government loses the desire to remain free. Let me talk through this for just a second. Before I get into the spiritual part of what I want to talk about today, I want you to know socialism's always chipping at our heels. And it's being taught in our colleges across the country, and it's trying to make an entrance, and it's trying to look real glorious. And I just have several men that have spoken to my life about its dangers of socialism and why America is what it is today. It's a free country and why. But one of my favorite speakers on this topic is Bob McEwen. I don't know if you've ever heard of Bob, but he is a great, great communicator of how important freedom is. And he has many videos online, and I really want you to hear from him, because if I can plant a seed of who he is, when you see him next, you'll pay attention. And I just found a short video clip today. Bob was a congressman from Ohio in the 90s. He's been down at our church in Hot Springs, and he's good friends with Tim Brooks and with David Barton, some friends of Michelle and I's, and we've met Bob and his wife, and great, great people. But he speaks often on limited government, and I want you to know he's a great man to get a biblical worldview from and an understanding of biblical government. So I'm going to play a short clip, and if you'll watch this, then I've got a whole lot more to say, so just hang with me. But I believe this will speak into your hearts about what I believe we need to see and continue to see, and why America is the best country to be a part of. Look at this.
Congressman, I want to start at this point of socialism, the infatuation that so many young people seem to have with it. What is it they don't get?
Let's talk about America. There are skyscrapers all over the world. Why? Because an American. invented the elevator. An American invented the air conditioner, the airplane, the light bulb, the telegraph, the telephone. More books, plays, symphonies, more copyrights, more inventions than the other 96% of the rest of the world combined. The question would be why? And here it is. If I want to get money out of that person parked at that street corner down there, I have to lay awake nights figuring out ways to do something good for them such that they'll voluntarily, freely, reach in their pocket and say, oh, you're going to wash my car and sweep the carpeting and dash. Oh, but I'd much rather have that than have this $10 bill. You're going to make this app that I'll never get lost again, a GPS. I'd much rather have that than have this $200. So under free enterprise, the way you get money is that you bless another person. They make an exchange, which at the end of the exchange, they are both better off. Mm. They've created wealth. And that's the only way wealth is created. Now, there's another way I can get from them. That is, I just walk up with a gun. I stick my gun in the window and I say, I want 50% of everything in your purse. Now, let's don't call that person a criminal. Hmm. Let's call him a congressman. Let's call him a city councilman. And the councilman says, if you have the audacity to live in Detroit, the richest city in the history of mankind, I'm going to take half of everything that you've got. And you're not going to have any choice in the matter. And so the people leave. Population of Detroit, smaller than it was in 1900. And 48,000 single-family homes are empty. So socialism always creates poverty.
I've heard you do the most remarkable speech probably I've ever heard on understanding the basics of the economy called Easy as Pie. And when you tell it, I'm always thinking, why don't we teach this in our colleges, universities, and other schools? Give us a synopsis.
We only vote on two things. I don't care if you're in Belgium or Baghdad or Boston. You only vote on two things. One is the integrity, the honesty. In America, we had a biblical Bible system, protect life.
Mm-hmm.
No other nation did that. Life, then liberty. Notice the sequence. Liberty's precious little value when you're dead. So you have to have life first, then liberty. So that integrity, and then secondly, integrity plus economics. Those are the only two things that you vote on in Venezuela, in China, and wherever. In the economics part, there's either I create wealth and get rewarded for blessing people, or someone comes along and steals it from me. And that's called socialism. They use the group to say, get that person. Those rich people in California, we're going to attack them. And so the state goes in. It happens every place all over the world. So those are the only two things that you vote on. Politics, P, equals integrity, I, plus economics. Politics, easy as pie. And I have it on my website.
This cannot be accomplished apart from a spiritual, God-centered foundation.
So you can have the lowest taxes in the world in Congo. But if everybody's stealing and you have to have police to surround your factory, and you have to have a guard on the train when you're going to the border, and you have to bribe the people at the port. If the lack of integrity, then economics doesn't matter. You have to have both. Hmm. And libertarians sometimes are trying to think that they can have the economic freedom without the integrity part.
By words of people on the left, and especially most of the Democrats running for president, is this term, fair share. Everybody ought to pay a fair share. And then they interpret that to mean that if you have accumulated some level of wealth, you're not paying a fair share, even if you're paying the highest tax rates. What's wrong with that idea of a fair share?
Here's the problem. Socialism doesn't know how people get rich. And so the left can take advantage of that. And so they go around and say things, isn't it terrible, Governor? It's just really terrible the way that wealth is distributed in this country. And I tell people, this is like you get in a car in Columbus and Interstate 70, and you got Indiana, you go through Iowa, and on both sides, all you see is corn, corn, corn. Then you go to Nebraska, and all you see is wheat, wheat, wheat. And then you get to Denver, and you give a speech. Isn't it terrible the way corn is distributed in this country? Isn't it terrible the way wheat is? No, wheat is not distributed. Wheat is grown. Corn is not distributed. Wealth is not distributed. It's created. And if you don't create the wealth, then you, leftists, don't have anything to distribute. And that's why people are fleeing New York and elsewhere. New York and Florida now, this last 6 months, are exactly the same population. One arguing as to who's third or fourth. They're exactly the same population. The budget in Albany, New York, is twice what it is in Tallahassee, Florida. So you can make any rich place poor, or you can make any poor place rich, if you understand that principle.
Venezuela is a great example.
Richest
nation south.
What
are the richest places with the greatest natural resources, greatest oil reserves in the world? And then now they're in poverty, and many of their people are starving to death, and 4 million have already exited the country as refugees looking just to eat.
Socialism creates poverty. And the Democrat Congress people from Minnesota are talking about that it's America's fault that they're poor. And why in the world we allow members of Congress to say those things? Not one person, not one Democrat in Congress criticized those statements, blaming us for what's happening in Venezuela.
As you look at the landscape ahead, honest answer, you optimistic or pessimistic about the future of America?
Governor, I've never been more optimistic in my life. Socialism has run its course. They see what they're doing in Seattle. They see what they're doing in California. They see what they've done to Chicago. And I think that America is going to have a revitalization, for which I am so excited.
I like that. A great place to conclude. Thank you, Congressman.
Appreciate you.
Great to visit with you.
You're the best, man.
That's Bob McEwen. And the reason I wanted to play that this morning is because I just think it's really important to plant some seed in God's people's hearts about what we need to be hearing, what we need to be listening to. And socialism will never bring freedom. It always creates poverty. Did you hear that? That's true. The way you get money is to bless another person. I tell that. I've taught that my whole life. The only way anyone ever is able to put a paycheck in their pocket is being a blessing to people. It's an exchange. That's all it is. And it creates wealth when both are happy about the exchange. Now, you vote on two things in politics, integrity and economics. And so you just need to know both of those things. You got to have both for freedom to work. Church, here's the deal. Only in Christ do you have true freedom. And so what I'm trying to do right now is just to make sure that the word gets out that Christianity is the only route to freedom. Why? Because integrity doesn't come apart from God. And if you have to have integrity for this great country to work, then we need God. We need God. It's cost people for us to have our freedom, their lives, their kids' lives. Our founding fathers believed our country's independence was valuable enough and our freedom was important enough to risk their lives, their fortunes, their families, their reputations, their honor. And you've got to know that there was blood shed for freedom.
Right.
That's important. You know that. And you're going to have to hear that for us to maintain it, for us to defend it. Today, as we worship, in the security and the comfort, right here in the United States of America, in Southwest Missouri, in Stone County, it's because thousands of young men gave their lives, shed blood on foreign soil, and we've got some in this congregation that were willing to do so that we could have freedom, and we're grateful for every one of them. Every one of them. See, and here's the thing. We're experiencing the joy of freedom, but are we living the responsibility of freedom? That's my encouragement today. In a letter to William Smith, dated November 13, 1787, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Freedom is not free, and the price is always paid in blood." Now, I don't like that, but the fact is, it's truth. Blood spilled on battlefields in every war have produced the independence and the freedom that we operate in today. Now let me get to our spiritual freedom for just a moment. Jesus died once for all. He shed blood 2,000 years ago so that we all could experience freedom. Now, we may have accepted his free gift of salvation by accepting what he did on the cross and that spilled blood, and we took that, and now we're free from hell. But the sad part is, a lot of Christian people only experience that part of the freedom that's available. And there's so much more. See, he won back our freedom. He takes away the dependency of the flesh, of the world's way of thinking. And we've got to work hard to understand and train ourselves to live by it. we've got Christian people walking in no health because they don't understand the freedom that comes in health because of what Jesus made possible. We don't understand the freedom that's available, and we aren't living in it because we haven't chosen to defend it and accept it for our own being. John 8, verse 31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we're descendants of Abraham," they said. "We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you'll be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you're free." You're truly free. And what our part is in this is you've got to remain faithful and you got to know the truth. You got to remain faithful and you got to know the truth. Come on. If we're going to have freedom in the Christian life, you got to remain faithful and you got to know the truth. There are just two aspects. That's what we've got to understand. The Apostle Paul later wrote these words regarding the work of Jesus in him setting us free. Romans 8, verse 1. "So now there is no condemnation for those of you who belong to Christ, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." This week, we've been celebrating our independence from tyranny, from bondage, to an oppressive government, and we've been celebrating it for 246 years, praise God. But here's what you got to know. One day it'll be over. The reason why I believe what Bob McEwen said, I'm more optimistic than I've ever been, is because I just lived through the last 2 years. But I'm more optimistic than I've ever been. Why? Because God's people are still here. And if God's people are still here, then God obviously has a purpose for us, and we have a hope. And I just want to encourage us today. We have a hope. But here's what I can tell you, and this isn't pessimistic. This doesn't last forever. And it will be over. But praise God, as long as God's people are here, we still have some hope. And we still have a reason to work hard at what God's called us to do. And I know that it'll be over. And I know that one day it's going to fall flat. Jesus is going to come back for his people. I know that this, I've read what happens, I know. And we can get into all of that. Or we can just say, I know this is temporary. So let's enjoy the freedom while we got it, and let's do what we can to maintain it. But come on, Christians, should we not daily be celebrating our independence from the tyranny and the bondage of guilt, sin, fear, death? That independence was won for us 2,000 years ago, and it's for eternity. It's not a temporary thing. See, if you truly want to be free, free from all that's tied your life down and buried you under a mountain of weight and fear and guilt, then today you can get some freedom here. You can live free. Freedom in America is worth fighting for. I get that. It's for defending. And I want to make the comparison. Praise God for the freedom we have here in America. Praise God that we're free to worship. I don't know how much longer we're going to operate in that freedom, but there are places in the world that it's not free to openly worship like we are today. Praise God, here in the United States of America, we're still free, and we're going to work hard to maintain that, and we're going to live with the freedom to worship. We fought for that. We fought for that, and we're fighting to maintain that. See, there's still an attack on the church. Right now, I'm watching it. It seems like every time I turn on the news, there's something about a church that has failed. And they're going to mention one church that's messed up out of the millions that haven't. But they're going to talk about it, and they're going to keep trying to attack the church. There's always going to be an attack, so there's always going to be a fight. There's always going to be a defending. But it's worth it. Come on, it's worth it. The freedom to worship is worth it here in the United States of America. I'm grateful that we're free from Britain's taxes. I bet the people in Detroit would have been thrilled to get rid of Detroit's taxes. Did you hear? They were leaving that place by the thousands. Why? Because you couldn't afford to live there, even though it was one of the wealthiest cities, because of taxes. I always want you to be careful about taxes. Because before long, we look no different than Detroit. Now, I'm not talking about it from any other aspect than right now, but in the United States of America. You have to understand. I love what McEwen said. And one of the other ways he says it, there's only two people that take your money without asking. And that would be a thief or the government. Now, please understand. Pastor, are you seriously going there? You bet I am. As an American citizen, and I'm the one talking, I'm going to talk about things like this. I believe it's important. We fought to be free from Britain's taxes. Let's not get back into our own. The other thing that I've already mentioned is free from wrong rulership, the freedom to choose our leaders. Come on, this is a good deal. That's why it's important that we get the voting system corrected if there was any mess up. Are you saying? Nope, but if there was, it needs to get fixed. Freedom in Christ. See, we understand the freedoms that we're fighting for in America. What about the freedoms in Christ? Are we living the freedoms that have been fought for and won for us? The freedom in Jesus provides so much for you and I. So let's just talk about three in closing, what you've got to know. And if you're going, oh, he's about done. No, I still got about 10 minutes, but hold on. I want to give you today three ways that Jesus set us free. Now, there's a multitude of others, but here's just three that God laid on my heart. Number one, freedom from guilt. Freedom from guilt. Our past should not be haunting us. Come on, have you been dragging your past around? You know what I mean. You've done things in your past that have hurt others. It's hurt you. I just hate all of that. You failed miserably. You failed at marriage. You failed at parenting. You failed financially because of your irresponsibility. You failed at religion. It's just so hard to keep all those rules. You failed and failed and failed, and the guilt of your failures and your poor choices is dragging behind you, and you just can't get free from it. What I'm telling you today is Jesus died 2,000 years ago for you to have some freedom from that guilt. And we ought to be able to get that. How would you like to be free from that guilt? Here's how you get free. You know that you're forgiven. You are forgiven. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, when I end this service, if that was something you needed to hear, come up front and grab one of these prayer warriors' hands and say, today I have been delivered and I'm going to walk in my freedom. I'm not going to live with this guilt not one day longer. I know I messed up there. I'm just telling you, God says that he can separate that as far as the east is from the west, to be thrown in the deepest part of the sea, not to be remembered against you. If God can forget it, you ought to be able to forgive it, because that's what he did. He forgave and forgot. He's forgiven us. Because of the work Jesus did in winning your freedom, you don't have to carry that guilt around. Come on, freedom from guilt is a big deal. It's a big deal. You can have that forgiveness. When we come to Jesus and we let him set us free, we shouldn't be holding on to anything that's weighing us down. There should be a freedom. Well, it come back on me yesterday. I just couldn't get it. It came back on me this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I claim the freedom of what you did 2,000 years ago, and I'm going to live free from that guilt. See, that it can't be that easy. Praise God it is. It doesn't seem like it, because we think, how in the world? That just seems so free. Freedom is not free, but it is available. It's already been paid for. Here's your second one. Freedom from consequence. Christ died in our place. We all know that when God's law is broken, there are consequences. The guilt we just talked about, consequence of sin, I get that. And that's why you need forgiveness. That's why you need to accept Jesus and what he paid for your freedom. There are so many consequences. But one consequence that no matter how hard our heart, how our conscience deals with, and we all face, the ultimate consequence for sin is eternal death. Separation from God for eternity. Hebrews 9:27, just as each person is destined to die once, and then the judgment. You've got to know that that can happen for you. That freedom can happen for you. Here's the deal. Today, we oftentimes don't live in the freedoms that God made available for us. We just don't. And the consequence that we all deserve is real. Well, they didn't get what they deserve. Well, let's not talk about what we deserve. Because I'm not getting what I deserve and you're not getting what you deserve. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Praise God, He gave us freedom from the consequence. When Jesus died, He paid the full debt. Now, please don't misunderstand me here. There are still consequences to wrongdoing. You kill someone, you're going to spend the rest of your life in jail. You smoke your whole life and get lung cancer. I'm not saying that we don't have a God that can restore and take care of, but I've watched a lot of people try to live outside of the consequences of wrongdoing. And what I'm telling you is, you do the wrong thing long enough, you're going to suffer some consequences. God says, don't mock me. What you sow, you're going to reap. Now, I understand that that could be a good thing and a bad thing, but what He's saying is there's consequences. But what you've got to know is you're free from the consequence of eternal death. You get life. In Jesus, we have true freedom from guilt, from consequences. And the last one, we're free from accusations. As a young person, it seemed like I lived fearful of being accused all the time. And you know why? It's because I deserved it. My brothers would run to my mama and accuse me. And they were most of the time right. What they accused me of was correct. But here's the deal. When you accept what Jesus did, you can be free from all the accusations that you deserve. Really? Yeah. You're no longer a slave to fear. I'm concerned somebody might find out. You don't have to be worried about that no more. Colossians 1:22. Now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. I love this. This is great. How nice is it not to have to run and hide? How nice is it not to have to worry about what someone else is going to find out about you? How nice would it be to be free from all the accusations and fear of all of my past that's going to come out? Politicians live worried about this all the time. Why don't you just get a hold of who Jesus is and know that whatever they bring out, you have an opportunity to tell them about a new life in Jesus. And He's not accusing me, and you keep on it all you want, but I'm a different person, praise God. See, free from accusations. There's a reason that Jesus sets us free, and it's so that we can tell others that they can be free. Key word here is blameless. You're no longer going to be blamed for what you did. Jesus took that, and you are now blameless. We are free from accusations. We need not fear accusation. We're free of guilt. We're free of blame. We're free, and we're free. I want to illustrate this concept with just a quick story. And this is closing it out. For those of you like, oh, we're done. It's celebration time. It's Sunday. Anybody seen any fireworks yet? You getting ready to go see some? What I'm telling you is reason to celebrate our freedom. Read it up. Okay. There once was a boy named Billy. His grandfather had a slingshot. One day he asked his grandfather if he'd teach him how to shoot the slingshot. So his grandfather took him into the backwoods and began to teach the boy. The grandfather told Billy to go and practice for a while, and Billy is out in the woods alone, and he kept missing everything he shot at. Billy, on his way back to the house, saw his grandfather's duck. and decided to try his aim with the slingshot once more. He wasn't real worried about hitting it because he hadn't hit anything in the woods. And so Billy took aim and whap, he shot that duck right on the mark. The duck fell over dead. Billy took the duck, he buried it in the ground. While he was burying it and putting the last dirt on top of it, he looked up and he saw his sister Sally standing there. Watching him attempt to hide his deeds. Sally and Billy, they went back into their grandparents' house, and as they did so, Billy told Sally not to say anything. Sally said, sure, no problem. The kid's grandfather told Sally to go into the kitchen and help her grandmother wash the dishes. Sally said, Billy is the best dishwasher in the family. He loved to wash the dishes. Remember the duck? Billy washed the dishes that night. The next day, Billy's grandfather said, Billy, let's go fishing today. Sally, your grandmother needs your help around the house, so stay there and help her out. Sally responded, Billy hates fishing but loves housework. Isn't that right, Billy? Billy stayed at home that day while Sally went fishing. This went on for several days. Sally blackmailed Billy into every unpleasant chore around the farm and out of every enjoyable opportunity. Finally, Billy had had enough and he decided to confess his crime. Much to his surprise, his grandfather said, I know you killed the duck, Billy. I saw you through the window. I also saw your sister standing there watching you. I forgave you when it happened because I love you. I just wanted to know how long you'd let yourself be your sister's slave. When we don't turn to Jesus and confess our sins and allow him to cleanse us, you're only fooling yourself. And you're a slave to your past, and you're a slave to guilt, and you're a slave to all the accusations. But once we come clean, we're free from accusation, and we're no longer a slave. When we come to Jesus, the Son of God, and let the Son set us free, come on, we're free indeed. We're free indeed. Independent, free from guilt. Independent, free from the ultimate consequence of our sinful lives. Independent, we're free from accusation. The thing is, we end up being just like Billy oftentimes as a Christian because we don't live independent. We don't live in our freedom. We live oppressed and we live hurt and we live guilty. And we're looking for someone to come free us. The good news today is he did 2,000 years ago. And so today, as you celebrate the freedom here in the United States of America, come on, as Christians, should we not be celebrating a little bit more freedom in our own lives? We have an enemy, I get that. But praise God, because of Jesus, we have the authority to live in freedom. I'm not dependent upon one thing he throws in my face. In the name of Jesus, healing is mine. In the name of Jesus, life and life abundant is mine. In the name of Jesus, I have the ability to have a great marriage. In the name of Jesus, I have kids that are in line, will be introduced to Jesus and will accept him as Lord and Savior. And they're going to live their life serving him. In the name of, see, can you start proclaiming some things out of your mouth that in the name of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, he already spilled blood so that you could live knowing that freedom is yours today. Freedom in your health, freedom in your life, freedom in your joy. There's freedom, but you got to work. You got to defend it. There's work that we put in based on what he paid for. It's no different than the work we have to put in to stay in the United States free. Come on, you get anything out of that today? Y'all stand with me.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.